Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Scott Ritter, and Scott is going to talk about the January 6th Commission. So, your thoughts, Scott?
Well, I mean, we need to start with the premise that, you know, something very serious occurred on January 6th. I don't call it an insurrection because I have a little bit of a feeling of what an insurrection is, and this wasn't that. It was a riot. It was, if not an act of sedition, it was sedition-like in that the riot was used as a vehicle by many of the protesters and those who supported the protest to disrupt constitutionally mandated functions of Congress related to the election. So this is a very serious event. And like any serious event, I think it's important that it be investigated and that we get to the bottom of, you know, just what was taking place. I've embraced my entire life the adage that you can't solve a problem unless you first accurately define the problem. That any effort to solve something that isn't linked to an accurate definition of what it is you're trying to solve isn't a solution at all. So, yes, we need to investigate January 6th. What we don't need is an overly partisan political exercise that has reached a foregone conclusion of guilt assigned to people in the political opposition, and which we use as a witch hunt to try and put the finger on the scales of critical midterm elections in 2022. That's what I believe is happening today. This is not a legitimate investigation. This is not a search for the truth. This is a politicized witch hunt, which very much, you know, is modeled after the two failed attempts to convict the president after impeachment, which were, again, not a legitimate exercise of congressional oversight, you know, mandated by the Constitution of the president, but rather a partisan political exercise, an act of theater that was conducted for political purposes. And that's what I believe this current January 6th commission is. I mean, if you just take a look at who's on it, you know, we have four former impeachment managers. All right, if you're going to try and tell me that these are legitimate investigators of the truth, I'd have to ask you what you're smoking, because they're not. These are openly partisan people who are part of the Trump resistance dating back to 2016, 2017, people who have made it their life and political purpose since that time to not only remove Trump from office, of course he's out of office, but to destroy Trump and those who supported Trump. The two Republicans who are on it both voted to impeach Donald Trump. You know, as did all the other Democrats who are on the board. This is not a body capable of carrying out an investigation whose conclusions would be acceptable to the broad public. Yes, people who are against Donald Trump, people who are part of the progressive, you know, Trump resistance, will eat up whatever these people put out, because, you know, it's like throwing raw meat to a dog. But, you know, this isn't a search for the truth, and whatever conclusion they reach will not be the truth. It's a political exercise that will end up dividing this country even more, which is why I'm dead set against this particular iteration of an investigation for the truth about what happened on January 6th of this year.
So who were the people that assigned the elected representatives to be on that panel?
This is Nancy Pelosi's show. This is Nancy Pelosi's show. Just like the impeachments, both impeachments of Donald Trump was Nancy Pelosi's show. It is a partisan political exercise orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi for the sole purpose of undermining Donald Trump. Now, again, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not sitting here trying to defend the man. But what I am saying is that we need to recognize that 75 million people voted for this guy in the last election, which means that what Donald Trump believes in is embraced and supported by a significant percentage of the American population. So when Nancy Pelosi goes on this witch hunt, on this partisan political exercise, this isn't about targeting an individual. This is about targeting nearly 50% of the American population. And I have a problem with that. I have no problem with informed debate, discussion, and dialogue. And if Nancy Pelosi wanted to engage in that kind of activity, an academic exercise, a legitimate investigation into the truth, for the purpose of putting the truth out on the table, regardless of where the chips fall, she might be surprised by the results, because I believe that many people who align themselves with Donald Trump, if exposed to the truth about January 6th, would be disgusted by what they would find. And it might, in fact, impact their ability to support Donald Trump down the road, because the truth is not Donald Trump's friend when it comes to January 6th. But this is not the exercise that Nancy Pelosi is carrying out. What she's doing is actually empowering the pro-Trump wing to become more solidified around their candidate of choice, to reject whatever findings are put out on the basis of the of a partisanship, and they're going to make Trump stronger, not weaker. The truth is Pelosi's friend, but because she's a political animal, she's incapable of trusting the truth. She's incapable of trusting the people to handle the truth. Therefore, she's unwilling to go down the path of a search for, you know, a legitimate search for the truth. This is a partisan political exercise designed to strengthen her base in a lead up to the 2022 elections.
So how many of the Democratic congresspeople feel the same way you do, in your estimation?
Very few.
Go ahead.
No, I just believe that this country has become extremely polarized, that there's very few people in the middle. I believe that there are a number of Republicans who would be supportive of a legitimate exercise. I think there's a number of Republicans who are rightfully disgusted by what happened on January 6th and embarrassed by it, and would support a legitimate search for the truth. But on the Democratic side, I would say that the percentage of Democrats who could be classified as moderates is slim, because the last election was a very polarizing event. Moderate Democrats tended to be voted out and replaced by Republicans. People tend to forget that Republicans won a larger share of the seats in the House of Representatives on this last election. Even though Donald Trump lost the election, Republicans gained in the House, and their gain came at the hands of those Democrats who were not firmly established in the far left base of Nancy Pelosi and company. So I think that the Democrats that we have in place now are largely defined by their anti-Trump partisanship. And so I don't think there's too many Democrats who are overly concerned about what's going on with this commission, because they view this commission as furthering their political agenda, not the truth, their political agenda. That's the problem in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's always been a political place, but there used to be a time when people of both parties could come together in common cause. I don't think there's too much that can unite Democrats and Republicans today. And that's a sad state of affairs when you think about January 6th. If one thing should unite Democrats and Republicans, it should be a legitimate investigation for the truth about what happened that day, because that's a day that can never be repeated in American history. It was an awful day. It's not a 9/11. I'm not calling it that. I'm not liking it to Pearl Harbor. It was a riot that got out of control. It wasn't a threat to our national security, but it was a stain on our honor as a nation. We're not a banana republic. We're not a third world nation. We don't have mobs running rampant through the capital of our nation. And yet that's what happened on January 6th.
Would you say this was more dangerous than the anti-war demonstrations back in the 60s and early 70s?
No. I'd say it's more embarrassing because of the breach. But no, look, what happened in the United States in the 60s and 70s was far more violent and represented a far greater threat to the physical security of the Capitol, meaning that if they had breached the security around the Capitol and gotten into it, the place would have burned down in the 60s. You know, look, the Capitol fell to a bunch of idiots who on January 6th, who roamed around, made their little demonstration, then eventually were evicted. If these were insurrectionists, the Capitol would have been burned to the ground. More than that, the people inside the Capitol would have been slaughtered, because that's what an insurrection does. It's the violent overthrow of a government. And having seized the building, these people would have had a plan to take the people inside and kill them. That did not happen. The only person killed inside the Capitol was an unarmed protester who took a step through a window and was murdered by a police officer. I mean, they're not calling it that. I'll call it that for want of a better word. How do you describe a police officer who purposely aims, takes a step forward, fires a shot into the chest of an unarmed protester, a protester he knew to be unarmed, at a time when right behind that protester were over a half a dozen heavily armed SWAT team Metropolitan Police officers who were controlling the situation. These were men in full body armor carrying automatic weapons. She stepped past them. They weren't concerned about her. And then she was murdered by this cop. That's the only person who died inside the Capitol building. And so, you know, this wasn't a bunch of demonstrators trying to, you know, execute, you know, Nancy Pelosi and stuff. Yes, you have some idiots, you know, shouting that out. But trust me, if they wanted to do it, they would have done it. They didn't want to do it. They were just there for an act of theater. Embarrassing? Absolutely. Humiliating? Yes. A danger to our democracy? Perhaps. But it doesn't rise to what would have happened had the Capitol fallen to the anti-war demonstrators or even some of the more violent civil rights demonstrations of the 60s and the 70s. They would have burned the place down.
So do you think that Donald Trump orchestrated January 6th?
I think Donald Trump wanted something to happen on January 6th. I think if Donald Trump were to have articulated what he wanted to have happened, it would have been the demonstrators surrounded the Capitol and made their voices heard to those inside the Capitol as a mechanism of intimidation, not physical intimidation, but moral intimidation, to let them know that there's a sea of people out there who are upset about what's going on inside. I don't think Donald Trump ever would have envisioned the storming of the Capitol, as to what happened. But, you know, this is one of the problems with Donald Trump is he doesn't think. First of all, as a sitting president, you should never seek to turn to the mob to intimidate Congress from doing a constitutionally mandated task of the certification of an election. If you have a problem with an outcome, you can deal with it, through the rule of law. And he was trying to do that. He was stymied at every route because the law was on the side of those doing the certification. You know, American presidents lose elections all the time. Sometimes elections are stolen. I mean, we can go back and take a look at, you know, the case of John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon and the stealing of West Virginia for John F. Kennedy. Nixon knew that Kennedy stole the election. Nixon knew that if he challenged it, he might be able to get the election turned around. And Nixon knew that if he did that, it could destroy the nation, that people had to have confidence in the legitimacy of American democracy, and that the best thing for the American people would be to step aside and allow John F. Kennedy to assume the office. The best thing for America, if Donald Trump truly cared about the United States, would be for him to recognize that he lost this election and to facilitate the peaceful transfer of power to Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. That's what he should have done. Even if he disagreed with the outcome, even if he felt that there might have been, corruption and ballots that were cast that shouldn't have been cast, et cetera. It doesn't matter. At some point in time, the greater good steps in, and the processes that are used to elect a president, pointed the finger of fate in Joe Biden's direction. And Trump needed to respect that. He didn't, and the end result is what we have.
Wow. So ultimately, what will this commission prove, and will there be changes?
Well, this commission won't prove anything. This commission has, I believe, zero chance of having anything meaningful happen. It will be a political show. They're going to seek to subpoena people. I think you're going to find a number of people will challenge these subpoenas. This is going to become an embarrassment to the Democrats, who will attempt to cover up their embarrassment by having, even more theatrical testimony, and then they'll pass, they'll pass something that has no ability to change anything. A conclusion that will, assign blame, point a finger, and basically empower those they're pointing the finger at to win the House in 2022. I mean, that's really what's at stake here is the future of, who controls the House of Representatives. And I think the Democrats understand they're on a slippery slope out. They're trying desperately to discredit the Republicans and the Republican Party and the pro-Trump wing of the Republican Party. And this may very well backfire. I mean, it could work. Who knows? Maybe they'll stumble upon something. Somebody will say something wrong. It'll become very, emotional and they'll win the day. You never know with something like this. But if I were a betting man, I would bet that the Democrats are going to turn this into the impeachment of Donald Trump Part 3 with the same result, just embarrassing themselves, looking impotent, and empowering Trump more than it discredits him.
So do you think that on January 6th, do you believe – that Donald Trump threw Mike Pence under the bus?
Well, Donald Trump was throwing Mike Pence under the bus no matter what. By Donald Trump wanted Mike Pence to invoke constitutional authorities that don't exist to stop the certification of the election. Mike Pence, while he may not have been supportive of the outcome of the election, was a man who, after close advice with his constitutional lawyers, realized that he had no power, no authority to do this, that his responsibility to the country, to the nation, to the Constitution, was to facilitate the certification of this election. So Pence, by carrying out his constitutionally mandated activities, had irritated Donald Trump. So he was thrown under the bus even before this began. The mere fact that Donald Trump was willing to mobilize a mob and send them in the direction of the Capitol, not to storm the Capitol, but to surround the Capitol so their voices could be heard, intimidate in an intimidating fashion, to include Mike Pence hearing these voices, means he got thrown under the bus. what happened after that, you know, the situation got out of control. To say that Donald Trump threw Mike Pence under the bus implies that Donald Trump was able to predict what was going to happen. Donald Trump, like the rest of us, were watching this, and you know, this was not the outcome he had predicted. I can't tell you what was in Donald Trump's head. Was he gleeful? Was he happy? Was he thrilled? Maybe, probably, likely, but I don't believe this was an outcome that he wanted. That he had ordered people to storm the Capitol. But the last person on his mind at this time was Mike Pence, because he was very mad at Mike Pence. So, yeah, he threw Mike Pence under the bus. He threw the country under the bus. This was not Donald Trump's finest moment. I mean, it alone should disqualify him from ever seeking office again, not legally, but as a matter of moral character to the rest of the nation. The fact that we elected somebody in office who was willing to mobilize a mob to prevent the Constitution from being played out really isn't the person we want sitting in the White House.
What about Kevin McCarthy? What's your view of Kevin McCarthy?
He's a political animal, like they all are. He's the Republican version of Nancy Pelosi, a man with no moral scruples, a man who will do anything to promote the fortunes of his political party. He's a partisan hack. He's not a good person. But that's the state of play in America today, where the people who are rising to the head of the respective parties aren't good people. They're good versions of what the Democratic Party has become in the case of Nancy Pelosi, or good versions of what the Republican Party has become in the case of Kevin McCarthy.
So if the Republicans regain majority in the House, do you envision Kevin McCarthy being the Speaker?
Yes. Yeah, he would become the Speaker. There's nobody else out there, fighting this fight. If this is a fight to put Republicans back in control of the House. It's not a fight of ideas. It's a fight of political power. If it's a fight of ideas, the Republicans might actually reject much of the platform they're sticking to, because the ideas of Donald Trump aren't necessarily traditional Republican values. But because this is about political power, longtime Republicans don't want to have to be explaining to the Republican base why they disagree with Donald Trump. I had a general once tell me when I was standing before him trying to explain that what I did was right, he basically said, "Lieutenant, when you're explaining, you're losing." I mean, you don't want to be explaining to a general, and politicians don't want to be explaining to the public. And so right now we have a Republican base that has been energized by Donald Trump, and they will be even further energized. This is what Pelosi and the Democrats don't recognize. They will be further energized by this January 6th commission, making it even more difficult for Republicans Republican politicians, longstanding Republican politicians who predate Donald Trump, to stand before them and try to argue for sensible policies. These people will endorse and embrace the extreme policies of the Trump platform, and Kevin McCarthy is compelled to embrace that as well if he wants to win the House in 2022, which he does.
Okay, so what do you think the outcome of the January 6th Commission will be? Do you think any substantive changes?
Any what?
Substantive changes.
No. This is a partisan political witch hunt. The biggest substantive change will be that Nancy Pelosi is going to lose the gavel as Speaker of the House, and Kevin McCarthy is going to gain it, when the new Congress is sworn in 2023. That'll be the substantive change, and then what we'll have is a Republican-controlled House, that is sworn to oppose anything and everything that the Democratic-controlled White House, led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, puts forward. And America will sink further into paralysis and ruin. I mean, this is a disaster for the United States. That's what these politicians don't understand, is they're sacrificing the future of our nation for the sake of their petty political, you know, battles. If these were true Americans, they would unite, they would overcome. But this country isn't run by true Americans. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if I were to describe the American political system today, it's basically you know, a party of dueling corrupt political parties that have come together to rule as an oligarchy. We're not a democracy. We don't care about the will of the people, and we don't care about what benefits the American people. This is about a battle for pure political power.
And would you say that what's happening in national politics trickles down to state and local politics as well?
Well, I say the closer you get to the voter, meaning you work your way down from national elections to the statewide elections to county elections to municipal elections to local elections, et cetera. The closer you get, the less partisan things are, because the people just aren't going to put up with it. I mean, in running for town supervisor, no one's going to sit there and listen to some idiot go off on a partisan ramble. They want to know, are the potholes going to be fixed on time? Is the county waste truck going to come by and pick up the paper bags with my grass in it when I mowed the lawn in a timely fashion? What are our taxes going to be? These are things people care about. And a town supervisor has to address these things. The further you get removed from the reality of life, the more politicized things become. But at the state level, the day-to-day realities of life are injected a lot more into politics than they are at the national level. So I do believe that we can function at the local level without this kind of rancor and bitter partisanship that exists at the national level.
So, Scott, our time is up, and like I've always told you, I enjoy talking with you, and I'm sure we will talk again. So you've been listening to Scott Ritter. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. And if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Scott. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.